Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, my name is Daryl Ong, and you tune in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. This week on the show, we explore the world of hypnosis. During the Japanese occupation, hypnosis was used as a form of anesthetic for wounded soldiers. It helps the patient control their subconscious reflexes to ease the severity of the pain. As a form that predates anesthesia, hypnosis and hypnotherapy has seen a drop in relevance due to modern general anesthesia and is used to treat psychological and minor physical problems. As a result of the display of hypnotism in Hollywood, there are plenty of myths and misconceptions to the field. But this week we clear that all up as Dr. Lenny Su, a master trainer in hypnotherapy and the current president of AHPM, the Association of Hypnotherapy Practitioners Malaysia. She has a pretty interesting story and amazing story of how hypnosis saved her life. I started off by asking her if it was anything like we see in the movies.
In some ways it is, like everything else. You know, hypnotherapy as a medical tool is a two-edged sword. You know, you can use it for good and you can use it for bad. So some parts of the movies is true, but the part where the person is completely unaware about what's happening, that part, that's Hollywood.
that's drama.
That's drama.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us then about the different types of hypnosis.
There is a traditional hypnosis, and the traditional hypnosis is when the hypnotherapist give the people some suggestions. That's just straight suggestions. Then there is the Ericksonian hypnosis, and Ericksonian hypnosis, they tell little stories, metaphors, and that's where it links with psychotherapy. And then after that, now recently we have also neuro-linguistic programming hypnosis, where they use elements of NLP to incorporate into the hypnotherapeutic trance. So there are many, many different types of hypnosis depending on which philosophy you come from.
And probably what kind of treatment you need.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, can you tell us about the specific areas these different methods target?
Well, Ericksonian is more towards psychotherapy. A lot of psychologists use it, and then counselors as well. And then the traditional suggestion one, it mostly is done by like stage hypnosis. And after that, the NLP one.
Sorry, by stage hypnosis, you mean like before performance?
Performance and all that.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
They are very authoritative. You know, they go, sleep. And you're supposed to sleep.
Okay, that are the ones that look like magic tricks.
Yeah, those are the ones that make them, they make them look like magic tricks.
Got it.
And then, of course, there is the NLP one, which is seems to be the trend these days. And it's mostly promoted by people like Anthony Robbins, you know, who is very big in NLP. And they do, you know, a form of hypnosis that incorporates some of the elements of NLP.
Okay, so bring us through the story about how you got into hypnotherapy. You already dabbling into it prior to your accident. Can you just tell us the story?
So prior to my accident, I've been interested in hypnosis for a very, very long time because of the magic thing, you know. So from very young age, I was very interested in it. But I really got interested in it in 2006. In 2006, I broke my neck. And literally, you know, when that happened, I started to lose all the sensation in my body and I knew that something bad has happened. So what I did was I literally put myself in a neck catalepsy. Neck catalepsy means that I put myself into a trance. I did a countdown. I stopped all the muscles in my neck from moving.
Okay.
It's like having a heart brace on. And with that, I could give instructions to my husband to take me to hospital. And I was so calm at the hospital that they didn't know that I had a broken neck. So when they started moving me to take the x-rays and all that, basically then that's when I sort of, well, according to the doctor, died for a few minutes and then came okay. back again.
Wow, wow. Yeah. So you self-hypnotized.
Yes.
When you had your accident, you had at least a lot of knowledge, at least to be able to self-hypnotize
yes.
yourself.
Yes, and I would not be sitting here walking because after the accident, I was told that I may not walk again.
Okay.
So I really, you know, credit hypnotherapy and my knowledge of hypnotherapy in allowing me to recover from that, you know, very, very serious accident.
Yeah, I mean, was that your first time self-hypnotizing?
Yes,
wow.
Not the first time that I self-hypnotized, but it was the first time that I used it in an emergency situation. Mm. You know, when you're studying hypnotherapy, you hear about neck catalepsy, arm catalepsy, like if someone break their arm, if your child break his arm, so you create an arm catalepsy so that the child doesn't damage the arm further until he sees the doctor. So these are the sort of things that you study in hypnotherapy, but you know, you don't think that one day you're going to apply it, but you know, and when it happened and I applied it, it worked.
It works for your benefit especially.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool. So in a way it does act as a shield before you get serious medical treatment.
Yes.
So if anyone that doesn't have the knowledge on hypnotherapy, they don't know how to self-hypnotize themselves, what is their shield?
Well, they don't have one. So that's why in AHPM, we have been trying to create public awareness about hypnosis so that, you know, people are aware about it. Because who knows, you know, it might save your life, it saved mine.
Definitely. Yeah. So how did you feel when you self-hypnotized yourself, especially during that moment where you just wanted to get the pain away, right?
I wanted to make sure that my neck didn't move because I knew that I broke my neck and I wanted to make sure that, you know, it did not move. And I can tell you how amazing the neck catalepsy is. The fact that I can get into the car and then drive in KL Road, which is so bumpy, all the way from my house to Pantai Hospital in Bangsa, and then after that, get treatment there. I mean, that's amazing. That's an amazing story.
Amazing. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that life-changing story, what are the biggest differences that hypnosis has done in your life?
The biggest differences that I think it has done is that it allows me to improve on helping my patients. Because, you know, I find that the rate of success with hypnosis in psychotherapy and in counseling is so much more faster and the effect lasts a lot longer than even, you know, traditional psychotherapy or traditional counseling. So, you know, it's a very rapid, fast, effective method of dealing with a lot of issues.
Is it true that different people react differently to hypnosis? So, for example, we're having a conversation of about anesthesia and how it's causing a bit of ripples now. But everyone reacts the same way to anesthesia, but not everyone reacts the same way to hypnosis, right?
That is a myth.
Okay.
Everybody reacts the same way to hypnosis. They all go into a trance. We now can detect that because we can detect your brainwave. Hypnotic brainwave is called the alpha wave,
okay.
You know, where your brainwave goes down to the alpha brainwave state. And so we can actually, you know, use machines now to detect whether you're in a hypnotic
state. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so traditional healing is getting mixed with technology
yeah.
and stuff. Pretty
exactly.
cool, pretty cool.
Yeah. Especially now with neuroscience and all that coming in.
That's cool. So hypnosis now, what would you say is the state of hypnosis in Malaysia? Do a lot of people use it as their first choice of medical treatment?
Unfortunately, no. It's the last choice. When everything else fails, that's when they come and see a hypnotherapist.
Okay. So that's why it's pretty interesting to me that, like for you, when you had your accident, the first thing you thought about was putting yourself in a hypnotic state.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
I would freak out.
And that's the worst thing that can happen because when you freak out, that's when the damage to your body, you know, happens.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So hypnosis does several things. It helps manage emotional distress, unpleasant physical symptoms, and also help you change certain habits and behaviors, which is pretty interesting to me. So when people come to you, your clients, when they come to you, what's usually the case? What do they want to fix?
Normally, they want to fix either a biopsychosocial problem. Bio, that means physical problem. Psycho means something to do with their emotions or something to do with their behavior. And social means maybe their interaction with other people.
Okay.
So a lot of the issues that we as hypnotherapists receive is more about the biopsychosocial aspects of life.
What is the strangest problem you have been asked to deal with?
The strangest problem probably in Malaysia, the strangest problem is people hear voices or they see ghosts.
Okay. You know? And anything you can help them for that?
Yes,
okay.
Anything that we can help them, you know, and a lot of them, because of our belief system, and we have a very strong traditional belief system in spiritualism and all that, you know, they think that we are like, in some ways, like Bomo.
Bomo, yeah, I was just about to say that.
We are not, but, you know, I mean, it's good sometimes to be associated with them, but...
Yeah, yeah. Neither are you Ghostbusters.
No, we are not Ghostbusters.
That was Dr. Lenny Su, not a ghost hunter, but a master trainer in hypnotherapy. Coming up, we talk about the misconceptions about the field and how we can use simple hacks to trick our subconscious to our own benefit. Stay tuned. This is I Love KL. My name's Daryl Ong, BFM 89.9.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it. All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
BFM 89.9, you tune into I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. My name is Daryl Ong. This week on the show, we have hypnotherapy master trainer Dr. Lenny Su, and we are talking about the benefits of hypnosis. Movies and popular culture have framed the way people view hypnosis, so I asked her about the different misconceptions and myths regarding this practice.
There are two kinds of pain. The first kind of pain is an acute pain. If a person is suffering from acute pain, then hypnotherapy probably will need to take a backstage, and we need to deal with that acute pain, you know, in a hospital. The second type of pain is chronic pain. Chronic pain is where hypnotherapy really can help, because people suffer from chronic pain for various reasons, you know, arthritis, fibromyalgia, cysts in the uterus. A lot of reasons why people suffer from chronic pain. And it is this chronic pain that has got psychosomatic elements to it that hypnotherapy is really effective in treating.
Okay, in what way?
For example, we can move the pain, we can shift the pain, we can teach them self-hypnosis so that they can actually control the pain levels. So we can bring the pain level from 10, for example, to maybe 0, you know, so that they can completely... eliminate the pain. And that is why we can actually carry out a surgical process with hypnosis without general anesthesia.
Okay.
We can put a person in a trance, we can basically suggest away the pain and then do the surgical cut, complete the entire surgery without any anesthesia, and then after that bring them out and they'll be fine.
Because hypnosis is the form of anesthesia before general anesthesia was...
Exactly, that's right. This was the form of anesthesia that was used, you know, during the Japanese occupation in Malaysia. It was the form of anesthesia that precedes, you know, before we have general anesthesia, we have hypnosis.
Does hypnosis also help a patient get over, say, phobia? So fear of heights, fear of spiders?
Yeah, that's the bread and butter.
Okay.
That's the bread and butter.
But it also helps, you know, your vices, so for example, smoking or drinking?
It helps with addiction.
Okay.
It helps with smoking, behavioral issues. So any form of addiction, it can shift the urges and cravings. And for some of the addiction, like prescription drugs and all that, you know, it can basically taper some of the withdrawal symptoms that comes from it, which can be quite bad because it can include nausea, dizziness, you know,
okay,
all that kind of stuff.
When you say shifting, I just can't help but think that hypnosis is a form of diversion. Forgive me if I'm wrong.
Well, neurologically, we thought so for a long time too, that, you know, maybe it's just about diverting someone's attention away from the thing. Which does help,
yeah,
of course, you know, it does help. It does move it around. But recently with neuroscience and imaging studies, we find that actually it activates different parts of the brains and it actually changes the pain receptors.
Okay.
So with that kind of studies that have been done, we now know that actually it affects the way that we feel about the pain, if that makes sense.
Instead of diverting it somewhere
else. Instead of diverting it somewhere else. And it numbs the nerves so that the nerves don't communicate, you know, to where the pain area is.
Okay, can you take us through a typical hypnosis session? So I understand there are a couple of phases. First one being induction and then application. Can you take us through that?
Okay, when you first see a hypnotherapist, the first thing that they will do is interview you. They will go through a long process of interview because we will try to find the root cause.
Okay.
And once we find the root cause, then we will conduct what we call an induction, which is we put you in a trance. And then once you're in a trance, then we will do a deepener. We can control your level of trance. Sometimes we want to bring a person really deep. Sometimes we want to just bring them at a very light area, you know, like a light trance. Or sometimes, if they are very anxious, we don't even need them to close their eyes. We can do a waking hypnosis.
Oh, wow. Okay, tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, waking hypnosis is just that, you know, like you don't even have to close your eyes. There is no such thing as, you know, someone
the clock
and all that, you know. While we are talking to you, we can put you in a trance.
Oh, that's scary. Am I in a trance right now?
No, you're not, Daryl.
Interesting, very interesting. So, and then after that comes the application.
Then comes the suggestion, where we give you the proper suggestion. And sometimes you do a reframe of those suggestions. And then after that, we take you out of trance.
And how long does the session normally last, depending on the problem?
Yeah, depending on the problem. But normally it takes about an hour. Okay. It takes about an hour. For anxiety, it might take a little bit longer. For certain kind of phobias, it might take, you know, a bit longer. But, you know, roughly the session will be about an hour and a half.
Okay. Before we get into the misconceptions about hypnotherapy, you came out of a healing method which I saw, which was pretty interesting. It involves a snake. It's called the full moon vibrational gong healing.
Yes. So what I did was we know a lot about frequencies now, and we know how frequencies can actually affect our genes, and it can affect our DNA, and it can affect the atomic particles in our body.
Okay.
So what I've done is I've combined the vibrations at certain frequency. So when I play certain frequency, like for example, if I play at 528 hertz, that's called the DNA frequency. The DNA vibrates at 528 hertz. So when I play that in conjunction with hypnosis, so we are actually in some ways reprogramming the DNA.
What?
Isn't it interesting?
I think you just blew my mind.
Yeah, that's
really
interesting. Yeah.
How does someone actually develop
something like this? Well, it is a combination, because we know a lot about the frequencies now, and we know different frequencies have different effects on our body and different effects on our organs, and different organs have different frequencies. So we know a lot about the frequencies now, and part of brain entrainment and all that. You know, all these are very new because neuroscience is the one that is pushing all this.
Mm.
And when we combine it with the power of hypnosis, it becomes very, very powerful, because we know, for example, with hypnosis that we can remove wart, you know, like a wart in your hand. We can just put you in a trance and suggest that the blood no longer flows to the wart.
Wow.
And then the wart just falls off. So we know that, and there's a lot of studies that has been done on this. It's been repeated over and over. There's a lot of journalized articles on this. And it's one of those well-known techniques that people use in hypnosis to remove warts. So if we can stop the blood flow to a wart, we can pretty much stop a blood flow to almost anything, right?
Yeah. In theory, yeah.
In theory, yeah.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. Let's get into some misconceptions about hypnosis now. Like I said earlier in the interview, the movie industry has really gave us... Well, some movies have given us a correct and proper representation of what hypnosis is, but a lot of movies don't either.
No.
Is it true that... It's again taken from movies. Is it true that, you know, the hypnotherapist is the one controlling the state of trance and when you get out and when you go to sleep, but they are the only ones in control? Are you trapped? Is the patient trapped that way?
No, the patient is not. In fact, the patient is experiencing what we call heightened awareness. When you're in a trance, you enter into this state of heightened awareness, and you're actually more aware, and there are more parts of your brain that is lighting up than if you were awake, actually.
Okay.
But why is it that sometimes, you know, you see that they seem to follow the suggestions of the hypnotherapist? It's because it benefits them. The moment it doesn't benefit them, let's say, for example, there's a stage, you know, hypnotism show going on.
Yeah.
And then there is a fire and then the alarm ring.
Yeah.
Immediately, all those people that seems to be in a trance, that seems to be following whatever the stage hypnosis, they wake up. And the next thing you know, they're out the door. So our instinct, our primal instinct is not curbed or weakened in any way by hypnosis. We are actually in a heightened state of awareness.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How about someone who say it is... You say everyone reacts the same to hypnosis, so this is probably false. But if someone who's really strong-willed does hypnosis as a dare sort of thing, would he be hypnotized?
The stronger the will, the faster they fall.
Ah, okay.
It's the weak-willed ones that are the problem.
Okay, the other way around then.
Yeah, the stronger the will, the faster they fall. The more intelligent they are, the faster they go into trance.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So there is a correlation between intelligence and somnambulism.
Okay.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, you know, apparently, you know, according to the studies, if the more intelligent a person is, the more they're able to follow instructions, the more they are able to assess and analyze things, the faster they enter into a trance because it benefits them.
I see. Is self-hypnosis something you do in case of emergency, or can you do it to, say, refresh your mind?
You can do self-hypnosis at any time. You know, I think everybody should learn self-hypnosis because, let's say, for example, you know, you're feeling anxious, hypnotize yourself, the anxiety goes away. If you're going to go for an exam and you're a bit nervous about it, you know, you can actually put yourself into a nice hypnotic trance. And then after that, suggest to yourself that, you know, you're going to be able to remember everything easily and all that and do the test quite well. This is all proven, you know, these are all proven techniques. So these are all the techniques that accelerates a person's performance, and we do it a lot for peak performance as well.
Okay.
Like if you want to play golf and you put yourself in a golf, in a trance, you know, you can actually play better golf. A lot of golfers these days actually have their own hypnotherapist. We go through a trance state several times in a day. It's a natural state.
Yeah.
You know, when you read a book and you get really into the book, or when you watch a movie and you get really into the movie.
Lose
you
sense
know,
of time.
You lose the sense of time, and you lose the sense of, you know, where you are and all that kind. And when you're in that state, you're already in a trance state. Every time that you enter into the car and drive, you're in a trance state. So the trance state is a natural state. But what hypnotherapist does is that it takes this natural state and it enhances it.
I see.
Mm, and you can do that easily. I mean, you know, in fact, if you want to put yourself in a trance, it's very simple. You just close your eyes. When people ask me, you know, like, Dr. Sue, what is the fastest induction that you can do? I say, well, close your eyes. And, you know, the moment you close your eyes, you're already in an alternate reality, you know.
Interesting.
And you can start to imagine things and allow your imagination to come into play.
There are a lot of hypnosis scams. We read news reports of people guiding you to the ATM while you're in a state of trance, that sort of thing. How does one differentiate from a real hypnotherapist to a fake one?
All right. At AHPM, we receive a lot of complaints, you know, about people who have been conned by some women that they meet in the market, and then they've been conned of all their money, sometimes in thousands of dollars, you know, and we investigate many of these cases. A lot of times, it is not hypnosis. A lot of times, these people, they're either drugged. You know, there's a certain kind of drugs, herbal drugs, that they can blow into your face, and then you pretty much follow what they want. There is also, you know, drugs that, you know, I'm sure you've heard, you know, of drugs that where you can rape a person and they won't have any recollection. I wouldn't mention the name of the drugs because, you know, I don't want to mention it in public.
Sure.
But a lot of it is related to all this kind of drugs.
So not hypnosis then?
Not hypnosis per se.
So how come we are getting reports of, say, fake? Isn't it tarnishing your field?
It is tarnishing this field, which is why we are on BFM trying to tell people, hey, come on, this is a misconception.
Yeah,
it's not us.
I mean, it puts the field in a bad light, doesn't it?
It does, it does. And I hope that, you know, I hope that people who have got this kind of experience come and talk to us so that we can actually really find out if it is indeed hypnosis. If it's hypnosis, we will be able to tell. And of course, if there is any hypnotherapist out there who is trying to do, you know, a con job on someone and all that, we will take action upon these people.
All right. It was recently World Hypnotism Day on January the 4th.
Yes.
You guys held out an event about, you know, dispelling the misconceptions of hypnotherapy and hypnosis. Can you tell us more about the event? And, you know, it's the second year now?
Yes. The World Hypnotism Day, HBM is holding it for the second year. So the theme for this year is dispelling the misconception about hypnosis. And every year we have a different team. Mm. Last year we have a team that says that, medical hypnosis. So we focus on medical hypnosis. And this year we are talking about the misconception of thing. It's a global event. Everywhere in the world, hypnotherapists will get together and we hold events to create awareness about hypnosis. And this event is basically to dispel some of the misconceptions and some of the, I think there's a lot of myth out there.
Yeah.
So these are the events that, you know, we are hoping that we can create more awareness for the public.
Are there some of the myths that, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about in the interview? What are some of the highlights from this year's event?
Well, some of the highlights, some of the myth is that, you know, you are completely unaware.
Yeah.
You're completely unconscious, that you're completely unaware. That doesn't happen in a trance state. Number two, you know, that you become like a zombie, you know, and then some people worry that, you know, they are in a trance and they cannot get out of trance. You can always get out of trance. You know, because it's just like you can always get out of a movie theater, you can always get out of trance. Yeah,
that's a good example.
Yeah.
I say blame the movies, blame Hollywood.
Well, they do us some justice too.
Why should people consider hypnotherapy as a career path?
I think it's a very rewarding career path. I think if you're a psychologist or a counselor or even a coach or a life coach, you're going to need to know a little bit about hypnosis, because hypnosis is about the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind controls 99.99% of your entire mind, you know, basically. So if, for example, there is a fight, you know, or a tussle between your conscious and your subconscious mind,
your subconscious will always win.
So if you don't know anything about your subconscious mind, then I can say that, you know, you won't have the edge in life that you need.
You're at a disadvantage.
You will be at a disadvantage.
So one thing I read was that subconscious mind always takes everything as true, and also that it's 1,000 times more powerful than the conscious mind. How can someone, you know, make use of the subconscious mind to their own benefit? Hypnosis is one way. Other way?
Okay, let me give you one example. If you want to change your belief system, it's very, very simple. All you have to do is be very careful about what you say to yourself. For example, if you're going to say that, I'm always a procrastinator. If you're going to say, I'm always a procrastinator, your subconscious mind is going to take that literally and make you a procrastinator.
This is what it means by the subconscious thing, everything is true.
That's right. The subconscious thing, everything is true. So you need to reframe it from the present to the past. So you need to reframe it into the past. So you have to say things like, in the past, I was a procrastinator, but now I'm not going to be a procrastinator.
So little tricks like that.
Little tricks like that. It's a bit of a mind game, but this kind of, it rewires the neurons in your brains. What you're doing now is that if you have a belief system, any belief system, I am a loser or I'm fat or whatever the belief system is, move it from present tense to past tense.
So I was fat,
you know, but I was fat and not doing anything about it. But now I'm fat and I'm doing something about it. So you move it into past tense. When you move it into past tense, actually a different part of your brain is engaged, not the present part. So you trick your brain into thinking that it has already happened. And now, you know, in this present, it's no longer happening. So this is a very simple trick that everybody at home can use. And you can use it with your children as well, because, you know, don't allow them to think in absolutes and globals, you know, because then it will affect them subconsciously. And your subconscious mind is like a seven-year-old. So you need to train your subconscious mind as if you're training a seven-year-old.
That was Dr. Lenny Su, Master Trainer in Hypnotherapy and the President of AHPM, the Association of Hypnotherapy Practitioners Malaysia. If you'd like to find out more about them and when their next events are coming up, do head over to ahpm.org.my. Sadly, that brings us to the end of this weekend's episode. But if you'd like to check out the podcast, do head over to our website, www.bfm.my/ilovekl. Also, the best way to keep in touch with our BFM podcast is by downloading our Improve app, available on the App Store or Google Play. Go get it. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. My name's Daryl Ong. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment.
Does that include dinner at that new French place?
Yep, 4% cash back there.
How about bowling with my friends?
Yeah, 4% cash back on that too.
Nice.
And that'll be a rewarding weekend. Because with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% on dining and entertainment. So when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.